With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I am joined, as usual, by Jason Lipschitz.
Hey, man, you got to introduce yourself.
My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschitz as Aaron Strecker.
Hey.
Who was with us, I think, maybe 2 months ago, as you may remember.
She's back.
Back again.
And she's back. Thank God. So let's, the last, I think, 2 weeks, we've opened with a Taylor Swift song. And don't worry, we're going to talk about the new Taylor Swift song, but we're not going to open with it. Just to shake things up, we're going to start out with Gwen, who has recently announced her, I guess, comeback might be a strong word for it, since she's not really ever been out of the public eye, but she's coming back to her solo career for the first time in a while. Yeah. So she dropped a solo single called Baby Don't Lie late Sunday night. It's good. To me, it honestly sounds like a song I would more expect Shakira to sing. It really has this, even when she sings up, there's this part where she sings those eyes and it almost sounds like she's mimicking Shakira. I feel like it was like maybe the songwriters like ran it by Shakira and she was like, nah, I'll pass. And then Gwen picked up on it, which is not exactly a great look for your comeback single to kind of sound like another artist. That being said, it's catchy. I like this song. I've listened to it multiple times. I just feel like it's not a great lead single for like a comeback. Maybe this is just kind of like a soft comeback, and then the big barnstorming single will come out in like a week or two.
Yeah, let's remember on her first solo album, What You Waiting For was the lead single, and we didn't get Holler Back Girl until I think third in line.
The big hit
could still be coming.
What You Waiting For, arguably the best song on that.
No, What You Waiting For was incredible.
It's a great song.
But I'm just saying, if Baby Don't Lie is not her number one yet, she could still have another number one in solo. I was kind of surprised that it didn't sound like something off a whole new like era of Gwen. It sounded like it could easily have been like a forgotten track from The Sweet Escape. So it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, that period was obviously very successful for her, but I'm kind of surprised she hasn't tried to like be a trendsetter once again and try something new.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that I remember, so this song reminded me of when No Doubt put out their comeback single, Settle Down, I think 2 years ago. And there was a coworker in here who will remain anonymous, who was raving about Settle Down. And I didn't say Settle Down, but I basically did, because I said, like, this song's fine, but compare it to like any other No Doubt single. And that's kind of how I feel about Baby Don't Lie. I'm like, it's not a bad song. It's actually a pretty good song. But like compared to any other Gwen Stefani single, it just doesn't really measure up to me. I mean, Gwen Stefani kind of exists in this weird area because she's the singer of No Doubt. She has a lot of, you know, iconic songs with them. She only has two albums. It wasn't like she's like a one-hit wonder, but she didn't have like that kind of body of work that like even like a Lady Gaga did with multiple releases and multiple top 10. I mean, she does have multiple hits, but like it was a very contained period between those two albums, and it's been such a long time since they came out. And so she kind of exists in this weird area where everyone's like, oh yeah, Gwen Stefani, yeah. So I was really anxious for this song to come out because I'm a big What You Waiting For defender. Holla Back Girl, of course. Sweet Escape. But I mean, Baby Don't Lie, I don't know, guys. I'm a little bewildered more than anything.
You're bewildered. Would you say you're disappointed?
I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. I'm just like, it's just like this doesn't measure up to the other ones. And my expectations were high, I guess. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with this song. It's like a fine pop song. And there is something wrong with the music video, which is bad.
It just looks like something that MIA would have done 8 years ago. And it's like, well, why is Gwen Stefani?
It looks like something that if I had a green screen in my high school media class, that is what I would do. I would be like, all right, let's take some crazy colors and some funky shapes, and I'm going to walk in front of them, and I'm going to look pretty cool, and I'm going to keep walking for like 4 minutes, maybe get some dancing at the end. Anyway.
No, Gwen has spent a lot of time on the runway. It's pretty much what she's used to these days. I don't think we can really fault her for just walking and posing in a video.
Yeah.
That said, we can definitely fault her. It was not good.
You know what? This is such a major look. Like, this is a comeback single, and she's having a moment with, like, The Voice and everything, and why not go all out? And I'm hoping that this is kind of like a teaser track, and we'll get, like, the main course soon, but I gotta say I'm a little underwhelmed, guys.
I'm definitely excited for more Gwen music, but I think we have to remember that, like, since her solo albums in, what was it, 2004 and 2006, or was it 7 for Sweet Escape? Yeah, since then, she's been, like, a major fashion powerhouse. She was able to leverage all of this stuff that people loved about the No Doubt era looks, and then her solo music career looks, and made this incredible fashion line, and now I don't even know how many lines she has, but she's been very, very successful in crossing over into the high fashion world, and I think that's maybe why the video was kind of, like, her posing and stuff, because I know that that's part of kind of what she does, and I'm not sure if she was wearing her own looks. I have to assume that she'd be wearing something in that look for cross promotion. It'll definitely be interesting to see if she's able to take her celebrity in the fashion world and kind of merge it with the music world that she's always been such a huge part of.
I think we're about to find out over the next few months, but I agree with Jason. I think it's going to take a much stronger single to kind of bring her back where
she was.
Do
you guys
before.
Remember the first time you heard Sweet Escape, or like the first, you were just like, oh man, like this is the jam. Like,
totally.
That was just a jam.
But I have
and
a
this
question.
Is, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, do we really remember Sweet Escape all that much, or are we remembering Love Angel Music Baby? Because I feel like
The song. I mean the song with Akon.
Yeah, that song
Akon,
is a total jam.
With the woohoo!
Incredible.
Yeah.
You're right. The second album was a little lackluster, but that single is remarkable.
Yeah.
This is Gwen Stefani, Baby Don't Lie. That you can't disguise. Baby, don't lie. I don't want to cry no longer. Okay, that was Gwen's single. Next up, let's talk the new Taylor Swift song called Welcome to New York. So this is the third one we've heard from 1989, and this is really the first one from 1989 that actually sounds like an 80s song. I mean, I guess Shake It Off had Tony Basil vibes, but this really, like, the
out of
opening...
The woods, I would say Out of the Woods kind of got that
80s.
I think that's sort of...
It seems like it could have been from any pop era.
That's indie synth, which is like a 2000s thing to me. And I feel like this is very much like the high-pitched, like, kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed synths that open this song are, like, totally orchestral maneuvers in the dark. Like, this should be to a John Hughes movie or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when Molly Ringwald moves to the big city, like, this is a song that would be playing.
I just gotta say, speaking of which, I saw a tweet last night that I thought was so brilliant. I forget who it was, but somebody was like, Taylor's no dummy. She's gonna be getting those checks from New York set romantic comedies for the next 10 years. And I was like... Yeah, that's really true. In like a year
for
show.
Sure. This is also going to be the theme song to every fall show next year.
Yeah. We were talking about that, how I pictured Sean Hayes on a bench in Central Park, like looking and pointing. Welcome to New York.
I can definitely see this being the theme to a CW show, or like at least the commercial.
Well played, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yes, props to her. She's obviously incredibly smart. Earlier, we were kind of disparaging the lyrics, and I have to say, after listening to it a few more times, I think it actually is a pretty strong song. I think lyrically the problem is maybe just that she's expressing kind of a lot of platitudes that a lot of people have expressed about New York, but in terms of like her actual wording, like it's not bad. Like there's a line about everybody here wanted something more, and you know, as far as you're going to go describing people who moved to New York, like that's pretty
us.
Good way of summing it up.
That's me and Joe and
Aaron.
We
that's
wanted
all of
something
us,
more and we got Billboard. Here we are.
And here we are. We made it.
It's our very own theme song, guys.
I would say, though, one thing which is a little bizarre is her repeating the New York, it's been waiting for you. It just, that's not the way New York works. Like, New York is a beautiful but a cold bastard of a city that does not care that you're here. It does not care if you're leaving. I mean, maybe it cares more
about
it.
We'll talk with Joe Lynch.
Maybe it cares about Taylor Swift because she's insanely rich. And of course, you know, New York always welcomes money. Yeah. But like that just doesn't like really vibe with it. It's making me think her New York experience is very different from 99% of other people's New York experience.
What's funny is I wrote about that when I wrote about this song yesterday. I was like, yeah, granted, yeah, her experience is probably a little different than mine. When I moved here, I lived in an apartment building where my bedroom had no windows and no electrical outlets. So I feel like, you know, Taylor's got one up on me.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't stand up in my first New York bedroom.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome space, to New York.
Anyways, Aaron, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I wasn't as positive on it as you were, Joe. I did think it worked really well as an album intro, having obviously not heard the entire album yet, but from what we've heard, I definitely liked especially the ending of of Welcome to New York, how it kind of fades out in that perfect way. There's like an anticipation for something more that I feel works really well in that respect.
Yeah, no, I mean, This is a good song. I think that it's not a great song. I think the first two songs from this album that she released were great. I know, Joe, you're not a Shake It Off fan, but as I've said multiple times on this podcast, haters gonna hate. I think that this is like an appetizer to the album. Like this is the intro to the album, and it's a good song. It's just, yeah, I get tripped up on the lyrics where it's like there's the whole opening. The greatest thing about Taylor Swift to me is her lyrical details, and she is so good at finding specific moments that you remember. Like, I just love, like, that's why, you know, Aaron and I ride hard for Speak Now, because that album is just full of like these little moments that you just remember when you long after you stop listening to them. And this song is like dropped our bags on the apartment floor, put our broken hearts in the cupboard or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yeah, it's not working for me. It's just not. And
I don't think it's bad. But I would agree that it's a little less incisive.
It's a little slipshod. I think it's a little bit, it needs to be tightened up. The screws need to be tightened up a little bit on this song.
So I just think it's missing the quintessential like Taylor Swift element. Yeah. These are just like songs that anyone could have released, and a lot of Taylor Swift's music no one else but her could have released. Yeah.
I gotta say though that like what I am positive on about this song is I love the sound of this song, and I love like the sound of all three of these songs. Like people are, you know, I don't see that much online chatter now of people like, whoa, this is such a departure from her, because people, you know, it's the third song now, people are kind of used to it, but like. Like if you compare this song to anything from even Red, like just crazy. It's just like the carnival synthesizers, and it's just like, but I'm all about it. I love it. So,
well, let's listen to it. So this is Taylor Swift, Welcome to New York. Everybody here wanted something more, searching for a sound we hadn't heard before.
Welcome to New York. It's been
right, that was Welcome to New York from Taylor Swift from the upcoming 1989. Next up, let us talk. Let us talk, people, about this song, which is absolutely blowing my mind. The Chemical Brothers featuring Miguel and Lorde. The song is called This Is Not a Game. It's from the Hunger Games, whatever the full title of
the
that.
The Hunger Games. Mockingjay Part 1.
Exactly. What you said. I've even read the books. It's just that the titles are way too long. But so, yeah. So this is an incredible song. Like, hats off to Lorde for curating a soundtrack and making it actually interesting. I was telling this to Aaron earlier. You know, Twilight did a great job with their soundtracks. They put really eclectic, interesting artists together. But you would listen to the songs and you would get the sense that, like, okay, you know, this is maybe a Death Cab B-side or one of St. Vincent's, like, toss-off tracks.
Maybe on the Equinox? Come on.
It's a pretty song. I'm just saying they really didn't. They were kind of forgettable at the end of the day. Sure. Like, it was an interesting collection of songs with each Twilight movie. But what Lorde really is doing is, like, bringing people together you would never imagine together. Like, I mean, Chemical Brothers, I've been a huge fan of them. I shouldn't say my whole life, but since I was very young. And, you know, imagining, like, these big beat pioneers with, you know, an R&B, like, smoothie like Miguel, but who also has very eclectic taste, and then Lorde, like, all in the same song. Like, it's just crazy. And it's just also the remarkable thing about this song is that it sounds like what you would imagine the movie is going to be like. There's these very menacing machine noises and, you know, something about the kind of like xylophone-like synths even just make it even creepier. It's just – and Miguel, like we're hearing this vocal performance from him where he sounds desperate, which is just something we've never heard from Miguel. So I just think, like, you know, obviously Chemical Brothers, hats off to them, but also Lorde – good on her for just getting something new out of these artists and something new for soundtracks in general.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't really have that much to add. I think this is such a cool song, and I'm a big fan of, you know, both Miguel and the Chemical Brothers. I just love, like, the Let Forever Be kind of vibes on this song. But, like, you know, does it ever – let me ask you guys a question. Does it ever – do you ever think about Lorde and get – sad because you're not as cool as her? Like, if you think about Lorde, who's 17, she's so much cooler.
But she's so she's too, like, if honestly, if she was a shade less impressive, I would feel that way. But she's so past me, I don't even care.
I feel like I'm not anywhere close to her level, so she should continue 17. To
like,
do her thing.
Like, I'm not gonna ever feel competitive with President Obama or something like that, you know, because he's just, you know, he's the president.
That's true.
Like, that's not even on, like, the possibility.
But you think about this as, like, Lorde as the curator of this soundtrack and someone who is able to pair together the Chemical Brothers and Miguel, which is really an interesting, innovative pairing. And then you're like, wow, I can't believe she paired these two together. And then you're like, oh, wait, she's 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was 17, like, I was, like, taking the SATs and stuff. Like, I was, you know, I was like, what college am I going to get into? But then it was like, and she's on this whole other plane of like, oh, am I going to be able to get a Kanye West remix for this soundtrack I'm curating? Like,
the answer is yes.
Yes, the answer is yes. That's the thing. So I'm so happy that Lorde is in our lives as a pop artist, as someone who is always trying to push the boundaries. And the song does just that. What do you think, Aaron?
I agree with you about the song. I'm kind of like you. I'm hung up on the fact that Lorde, like, this is such, like, a, when it was first announced that she would be curating the soundtrack, that was such a nothing assignment. Like, it would be very easy for them to just, like, pay Lorde some money and have Lorde release, like, a nothing single and just kind of continue on. But instead, she, like, took it so much further than anyone probably thought. Like, this is a sound, this isn't even, they call it a soundtrack, but, like, these songs, save for maybe her single, aren't even appearing in the movie. It's literally, like, a special tie-in thing that you can buy in stores. It's like,
so
music
cool.
Inspired by the motion picture.
Yeah.
So it's great that she, you know, took the time to actually put these pairings together and kind of show what she can do. There should be a Grammy for that.
Yeah.
Is there a curation Grammy?
I
is that like
there? I mean,
I know Zach
Braff won
words.
One for Garden State for just like putting that mixtape together.
I think it's just like a soundtrack.
So well, yeah, maybe
soundtrack Grammy for Lorde.
Without
the campaign starts here.
Yeah.
Yes, you heard it here first.
Like, man,
we
want
to give
Lorde
a Grammy. But let's listen to it. So it's a fantastic song. It's called This Is Not a Game, Chemical Brothers with Miguel and Lorde herself.
There it is.
Wait. Find what you love and let it kill you. Chop under pressure, thinking damn it. All eyes on me, like.
That was Lord's Hunger Games Mockingjay Lord of the Rings Two Towers soundtrack contribution. All right, Aaron's about to duck out, and Jason and I are going to take it from here to talk about the rock and roll.
The rock and roll. Thanks, Aaron.
A song that probably has me just as stoked. The new, I can't even believe I'm saying this, the new Slater-Kinney song. It's called Bury Our Friends. You know, this. Why don't you start with this one?
Man, I'm just so happy Slater-Kinney's back. That's just the best. And like, I feel like that's just been the general thought of Twitter and the internet at large, of just being like, wow, yeah, Slater-Kinney's back. Like, it's just a great thing. And Bury Our Friends, like, it's a really solid song. I don't think it's like mind blowing, but I don't think any Slater-Kinney song, like, you have to listen to them in the context of an album.
For sure.
Like, if you just gave me like Jumpers or something, like, I'd be like,
maybe
oh,
the
is...
opening track on The Woods is kind of like knock your socks off. But you're right, the rest of
you gotta
their
listen
songs,
to it in order, and, like one beat, like the same thing. And I think that this is just like, oh man, I'm so pumped to like see them live and to listen to a full new Slater-Kinney album. And you know, it's funny because I wasn't a fan of Wild Flag. Were you a Wild Flag fan?
I don't want to say I wasn't a fan, but I'll be honest. I mean, I probably listened to it twice and then never
again. Yeah, I was never a big fan of that album, just because, and I really think that it's just because I liked Slater-Kinney enough to be like this. I was like, oh, this reminds me of Slater-Kinney,
right.
And I miss
but
Slater-Kinney.
It isn't. Yeah,
like that's how I felt about that album. And to hear that like they're all back together and this is actually happening, and you know, I was jazzed honestly for the reissues of the albums, because like,
for sure,
they, I mean, you know, it's a reissue, but like apparently like they sound really cool, and you know, it gives people another opportunity to kind of rediscover those albums again. I mean, they've released a bunch of albums. Even if you only know one or two, you should go back and listen to all of them. Yeah, I mean, it's a great thing. I'm really happy. It's hard for me to like critically judge this song. It's, like I said, it's a really solid song.
I would say, like, song wise, I was trying to listen to it, like you're saying, the first thought is just like, oh my god, they're back.
Yeah,
I can't
it's
stop
like,
thinking
yeah,
about
this
that.
Is great. Yeah.
As far as songs go, though, I think this is really a pretty great comeback, in that it sounds like Slater-Kinney, because it is Slater-Kinney, but it isn't really just like retreading. A lot of times you'll get a band who gets back together and you're like, oh yeah, this sounds like what they were doing before they broke up. This doesn't sound like The Woods. Like, The Woods had that like Zeppelin thing going on.
Yeah,
this is definitely not the off-kilter punk of their early days. This is, I guess, just what you would expect like a maturing Slater-Kinney to sound like. It's, you know, it's not like wildly new, but it's slightly different for them.
Exactly.
So it's also exciting because it's like, okay, well, they're a band that is still relevant and still matters.
Yeah, they are kind of, it is a different sound. They are, but I also think they're kind of picking up where they left off, and where like it's just like naturally progression. It's not out of nowhere. I'll say it is that I think it's, you know, it's at a point where it makes sense coming from after everything they've done, everything they've accomplished, and now they're here. And it's you know, it's lyrically on point. It's just, you know, it's fun. It's fun to have them back.
It's great. Well, if you haven't heard it, by all means, go online, listen to the whole damn thing. But for now, check out
the
whole darn thing. For now, check out Slater-Kinney's Bury Our Friends. All right, that was Slater-Kinney. Next up, let's talk about the Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters.
So this is, the song we're talking about is Something From Nothing, which is the lead single from the new album Sonic Highways.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been on the internet and you read about rock music, you're aware that the Foo Fighters are back.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every day there's one to two different news stories about Dave Grohl doing this, or, you know, covering whatever in a live performance. I mean, they were on Letterman for a whole week.
Yeah.
But anyway, but let's talk about the song. I would say, for me, this is not maybe one of the strongest Foo Fighters singles I've ever heard, but there are things I really do like about it. There's kind of this like swampy, funky little guitar thing that comes in midway that's kind of like the band on Cripple Creek. And there's, you know, I mean, the lyrics are pretty good, I guess. Maybe autobiographical, maybe not.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was the song they made in Chicago. They're making songs in different songs in different cities, each song kind of representing that city a little bit. And this one is about kind of the great Chicago fire. It's like it burned a spark and, you know, what do you think of this whole project? I mean, we've only heard this song from it, but like, I don't really know how to get a handle on this Sonic Highways project. What do you think?
I kind of see what you're saying. I would say I feel like I'm already exhausted by it. And
yeah.
Just the idea of like each, so there's what, like an HBO series, every episode's a new city and that's a different song for each one. I feel like, and maybe I'm just not a big enough Foo Fighters song or fan to be into that, but to me, I kind of just want an album. Like, I'm not actually that interested in like a huge story for every song.
You know, I thought that too, but at the same time, I was like, why should I fault the Foo Fighters for like changing it up? Because how many times are they just like, you know, they come back, their last album, Wasting Light, they just came back and like, hey, here's a new Foo Fighters album. We're going to tour behind it. We're going to headline a bunch of festivals. Then we're
totally great album.
So they're changing it up, but does that make it a little less accessible, I think? It's just like, I don't know. I get like a weird vibe from this whole thing. I mean, like you said, it's the HBO series, 8 parts. It's 8 songs from 8 different cities. And it's just like, it's exhausting, I guess. But it's also, that's the thing. It's exhausting if you're not a super fan. But if you're a Foo Fighter super fan, like this is sort of your dream. Like, you know, like this really interesting project from this veteran band. And they're changing up their style, but also not really like taking a complete sonic detour.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know. Like it's just...
I'm on the fence too. And I think you got to give Dave Grohl kudos for just kind of a creative way of marketing the album. And, you know, he did Sound City before this, which was another very inventive project. But I 100% agree that is, you know, it's one of those things like, does the average Foo Fighters listener want to know this much? I don't know, you know, but I guess it's one of those things like it's out there. You can ignore it if you want to. But that being said, I feel like I've heard just so much about this album and I've only heard one song.
Yeah.
And I would like to hear, you know, for as much as I already know about how this thing came together, I would like to hear a little bit more of the music.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is a larger discussion, but I think it's just so hard for established veteran rock bands to kind of really crack the general population now and really come out with something new and interesting to say. Just in terms of their music, I mean, I think that Foo Fighters is trying to do that. If you think about some of the bands that have come out this year with new albums, you think about U2. Well, yeah, U2, mm-hmm. Everybody talked about the free album on Apple. How many people are talking about that album itself, like the music?
Almost no one.
Yeah, and, it's great.
You know, the people who are saying not the most kind thing. I mean, of course, Rolling Stone gives it a 5-star review.
Yeah, but like you think about even like a band like Linkin Park. Like Linkin Park, like, you know, we gloss over them a little bit. But they're a huge band, and they came out with an album this year, and they did exactly what we're talking about with the Foo Fighters have done in the past, which is just like, hey, you know what? We're back with a new album. Here's a new album. Here's the tour. And you know what? Not a lot of people people cared about it, but they didn't get a lot of buzz.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it didn't get the same internet buzz, and Dave Grohl is very adept at getting people talking about
what he's doing. I think it's so hard for, like I said, established rock artists to kind of break the mold and be like, and get people who are listening to pop and hip hop and R&B to really pay attention to them, because so many people, and you know, maybe unfairly so, think of them as like stodgy, like, oh, you know, the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. I know they. I mean, another one I was just thinking of was like, it seems like the ones who have kind of broken that mold do so because obviously the music is good, but also they're putting a, like a little twist on it, kind of like what the Foo Fighters are doing. Like you think about last year with like the Arcade Fire album, like that whole thing of like, oh, they made like a dance album with James Murphy and they're doing like Masquerade Balls. Like it was like,
did a lot of teases for it.
Exactly. It's not like gimmickry, but it's like edging close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm interested in this. I guess we haven't really talked about the Foo Fighters song.
Right.
It's a good song. There's a part in it that sounds exactly like Holy Diver by Dio. The dun, 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 dun.
Good call, yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, that sounds like Holy Diver. But I like Holy Diver by Dio.
Holy Diver's a great song.
It seemed, again, kind of like the Sleater-Kinney song. It seems like it's going to make more sense in the context of the album. I mean, I just thought it was interesting that this song is just coming out now. Like, this album's coming out in, like,
right,
3 weeks? Yeah, like
and
3 weeks.
And this is the first thing we've heard from it.
And yeah, so like you figure like, I mean, Taylor Swift put out her lead single 2.5 months mm-hmm. ahead of her album. This is coming 3 weeks ahead of time. So I'm surprised it's coming a little late. But maybe it's just one of those things where just like, you know what, it's not about the single. It's not about like, you know, we're going to do rock radio, but this is about the whole album. This is about like a cohesive project. So I think it's hard to judge, I think. I'm going to stop rambling. I just covered like U2 and Arcade Fire.
Right, like every other rock band.
I don't know what the hell
band.
I'm talking about.
We haven't talked about Coldplay, so let's... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no. Same kind of thing of yeah. like doing like a downbeat thing. It's just so hard for a rock band to kind
hard,
of do
you know,
the
pop,
same old.
A pop singer, basically, you know, you can get in the news by getting a haircut or by like,
yeah.
you know, did they throw Twitter shade on someone? I mean, that's just not really in Dave Grohl's wheelhouse,
yeah.
you know? So you have to kind of come up with ways like, hey, I'm going to go on a mini tour while I record this album and make a documentary and
yeah.
stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's inventive, I guess. But let's
yeah.
listen to the song.
All right.
So it is... Something from Nothing, the album is Sonic Highways, and it is the one and only Foo Fighters.
It started with a spark and burned into the dark. Now here I go.
All right, that was Foo Fighters. That's all we've got for you guys this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks, Jason and Aaron, for coming on and, you know, chatting music and all
just
that good stuff.
Rambling about rock music.
Rambling
I'm
about
go back to my popcorn now.
Yeah, exactly. And Jason, thank you for giving me pistachios earlier today.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was
no
just
worries,
such
man.
A taste treat. And if you guys have any, you know, suggestions, bands, whatever, music, you know, pianists, flautists who we should check out, tweet us. We always love to hear new stuff. So thanks a lot. Have a good week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.